Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Spirit comes in here in days, and so, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your day, for your word, for these mothers, God. We just praise your name for the opportunity that we even get to be here as one body, united, praising your name, singing, "Holy are you, God." And we just pray, we invite your spirit in here to just completely take over this service. Lord, my whole prayer this time, let it be your will, your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to talk to the mamas today, but it really does apply to everybody, but I think mamas, it's a whole nother level. Where we feel like there is just never enough room for anything, ever. Physically, in our homes, mentally, in our minds, our schedules, everything tugging at our emotions. It's like a 24/7 war of priorities and where do I put them? What needs to come first? What needs to come next? There's all these things to do. I've got the kids, the job, the career. If you're stay-at-home mom like mine, that's a whole nother list of jobs and duties. But there's something tugging at us one way or the other all the time. And there's never room for anything. That's what it feels like. Am I alone? Am I the only one? No? Okay, good. I thought it was for a second. Okay. But God is always wanting to take us to the next level in Him. No matter how busy our schedule is, no matter how crazy the kids are in the thick of, right now I'm with an 8 and a 3-year-old at home, and so I'm in the thick of my motherhood, but it's so easy for me to use the excuse, and I have. I will point at myself here. When I get time, one day when the kids are bigger, God, I know you have this calling on my life. I know it's been prophesied. I've been spoken over. I know it's supposed to happen, but I'm just too busy for it right now. There's the husband, there's the house, there's the kids, there's the job, and I'm drained, and it's all I can do to just keep up with my daily Bible app that dings me to remind me to think about you, okay? I got to be real with y'all this morning because that's been me for many years of just trying to go along to get along, get all the things checked off the box because we're just busy. But he hit me right in the head and said, "You can't allow a busy season of your life to distract you from my calling that I have for your life. That is why you're here. All this other stuff that you got going on, yeah, it's good. It's the life that we live in. It's the world that we're in. But it's not what's supposed to come first." And I think for a long time, I've had it out of whack a little bit. It's hard to put them kids second, well, really third. That husband first over them kids. Y'all know, y'all been in through marriage services here. Y'all know, marriage, kids. Okay, it's God's order. We didn't choose it that way. He did. Because them babies are real sweet. And that husband's sweet too most of the time. So, but there's an order to what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to fulfill God's purpose in our life. And I just had to let go of that someday. Someday my kids are going to be bigger. I'll have all the time to just sit at the feet of Jesus and cry on the floor and read my Bible 24/7 and just be this awesome woman of God someday. But not today, because I got to change a diaper. And I got a job that's waiting on me. And I got a husband that's waiting on me. And I've just got to tell you, being the oldest daughter of the four, I'm 12 years older than the baby. And so I got a front row seat watching my mom in the thick of her motherhood. While I'm, you know, growing teenagers, she still has infants, babies, toddlers, school-age kids, slinging them to sport. So I got to watch her while raising me too, Watch her in the thick of raising littles. And now she has all four out. Two are in college, two are married. She still doesn't have the time that we would think someday would come. Someday doesn't come. If you're waiting on Sunday, it doesn't come. I swear my mom is more busy today as an empty nester than she was in the thick of motherhood. So waiting on Sunday, he is not a God of someday fulfill your calling. He's a God of right now it's time to fulfill the calling I have in your life. Okay? So we have to think to ourselves, we got to make room. There's too much stuff. Too much stuff. Something has to give. Because if that's our number one priority of being put on this earth, if you are a believer, born-again believer, and you say that you love God, then your number one mission is seeking His kingdom and advancing it for His glory. But we're stuck. It's like we're stuck in this routine of just go along to get along. Because I've been there. You can't tell me it's not real because I've been there. Okay? So you have to ask yourself, what things do we need to get rid of to make room for God to grow in our lives, to advance in our calling? And as I'm praying about this, I'm riding down the road to my son's field trip. And if you know me, I am not a person to sit in the car by myself and not talk. I am my daddy's child, and we will talk your ears off. And so I call my Aunt Deb, I call my sisters, I call somebody that will just talk to me. Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. And that's where it hit me. I say I don't have time. I say I don't have room. But my call log says otherwise. My scrolling time, I don't look at it on my phone because I'm scared what it'll say, but I know you can do that, or you can check your screen time. It would say otherwise. Okay? And so as I'm praying on the way to this field trip, because I'm like, okay, I'm shutting it all down. I got an hour drive. God, it's me and you. Talk to me. Talk to me. And I think, honestly, coming from me, a person that I love God, I've always been raised in church, but sometimes I don't want to let Him talk because I'm scared He's going to tell me something to do I don't want to do. Like right here. Right now. That's how I got here. He told me I had to go. Okay? So the first thing that He downloaded to me, again, about me, and hopefully maybe, hope it's not about you, but it might be about you too. We have got to get rid of and make room, pluck it out, the excuse, because that's what it is, it's an excuse, that you don't feel worthy or qualified for your calling. Okay? And you're like, oh, that's easy for you to say, look who your daddy is. And if I don't, I would be lying if I didn't tell you that that enemy spoke that exact lie to me. As soon as my parents asked me to get up here and do this, Satan started attacking me in my mind. It was a war, a battle of my mind right then. They're going to look at you and be like, the only reason you're up there is because that's your daddy. You ain't really called. You're just the preacher's kid that got to get up there because that's your daddy. And I started to inhale that, absorb that. But then in that quiet time where I actually let the Lord speak to me, and very quietly, very softly, the way that He is, gentle and loving, He jerked a knot in my tail. And He said, you are not qualified because you're Joey's daughter. You are qualified because you're mine. Okay? It has nothing to do with him or his title or his name. And it has everything to do with mine, and that I'm worthy of you getting out of your comfort zone to tell everybody that there is a God that does love you, that sent his son to die for you. And if you'll just surrender the junk to him, life is so much better his way. It really is. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean I do it right all the time. But it's better his way. My daddy always said growing up, you want to do things the easy way or the hard way. That usually meant with a whooping or not with a whooping. Okay? Same thing with God. We can go through this life trying to do things our way, flying by the seat of our pants in life, in our personal life, in our marriages, raising our kids, in our churches. When he gives us an instruction manual on how to do it, that we're never alone, that he's not going to forsake us, and that we are qualified, and I'm going to show that to you. And then it doesn't matter where you come from, which side of the tracks. I am no more qualified than anybody else in here. No one else in here is any more qualified. We are all qualified because he qualifies us, and we're going to see that right now. We're going to prove it to you. So Colossians 1:9-12. It says, we pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, heavy on the true there, not self, pleasing God in every good thing that you do. Then you'll become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to his life and maturing. Oh, my word, maturing is the key. I can remember looking at my mom, and here recently, it's like I just had that battle of thinking about when my mom was my age. I'm 31. And I'm like, when she was my age, I mean, her and my dad were pastoring, they're rocking and rolling, leading people to Christ, doing all this stuff for the Lord. And what am I doing? Am I ever going to reach to where she was then or now? It's not a comparison. And as mamas, we fall in that trap a lot of the comparison game. But we do have to mature. We may not be where somebody else is, and that's okay. But as long as we're taking the steps to mature, to grow closer to him, that's the right direction. I may never reach my mama where she is, but I'm going to die trying. But it's also, God doesn't call me to reach my mama or her shoes. He says, daughter, I have your own pair of shoes with your own calling for your own steps for you to take that I've called you to walk in. So get to stepping, and I gotta get to stepping, okay? Okay, then you will become fruit-bearing, which is what we want. We don't want to be that fig tree that Jesus had to curse because we don't do nothing that he tells us to. Yielding to his life and maturing in the rich experience of knowing God and his fullness. Is that not what we want? To know him in his fullness. Not just about him, but all that he has to offer us. And we pray that you would be energized. Mamas, amen, right there. We need that energy with all of his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. And here's where we're getting to. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God has made you worthy. He tells you right there, God made you worthy, and not just worthy, but here we go, to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. And there's another translation that I love because when I'm praying about this, it kept coming to me, worthy and qualified. Those two words. People don't feel worthy. They don't feel qualified. There's been times in my life I have not felt worthy, have not felt qualified. And this translation says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we're not called to be bystanders. He tells us right there we're to be partakers and that we're qualified to partake in his inheritance. He has this big plan for you and things that he wants to hand to you, gifts. And as long, right there it says it, living in the light. When you are living in the light, when you have accepted Jesus, that's all it takes. It's not your performance. It's not how well you think you've been this week. It's him. On my best day, I'm not worthy to get up here. Ever. But he's worthy for me to get up here and do what he said to do. So when you're on that battle of who am I to go talk to these people about Jesus, they know something about my past. Shut that down. We all have a past. Somebody cast that stone. If you don't, hit me with it. Okay? Nobody's going to throw anything. So we got to get that out of our head if we're not worthy. Okay, let's see. So we're going to continue at Colossians 1:13-14, where it says, he has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. And I don't know how that don't get you excited, because just the thought of we have redemption. So it doesn't matter what our past has been. It doesn't matter what we've done. We've accepted his blood. We are redeemed. He has released that for us. But does that mean we just get to wake up and have it one day? The release of the redemption? If something's released, what do you got to do to it? You got to take it. Freedom doesn't come easily. You've got to fight for it. It's all the freedom in the world is released for you to have. But you got to pick it up and take it and make the decision that I'm not going to be held captive. Sorry. That I'm not going to be held captive any longer by my mind, by the enemy, by anything. God has a plan, and he has released me from whatever it is holding me back. In my, again, and this is all areas of life, your marriage, your finances, your church, your job, raising your children. There's redemption in all of it. He is a God that redeems. And I love that about him. I love that he is the God of second chances. Because I've needed far more than two. Okay? And there's nobody too far gone. There's no marriage too far gone. There's no wayward son too far gone for him. All you got to do is turn around, surrender, and you're qualified. You are qualified. And he's worthy of you to do it and be obedient. He really is. So that brings me to the next thing, because, you know, we're all supposed to make room in our calling. We got that down. We got to make the room. We got to get junk out of the way. Got to get that I'm not worthy, I'm not qualified junk out of the way so we can let him move. We are called to go deeper. We're called to share his news, tell what he lays on our hearts, to worship him the way he wants to be worshiped. I know that's a stretch, but it's in there. What he wants is in there, and that's an obedience thing. Okay? And don't look at me like, oh, you've been raised in that. You're used to it. Okay, well, there were years where the devil got a hold of me and shut my hands down. You know, that teenage years roll in where you're embarrassed what your friends are going to think. You're a kid. You don't care. You do cartwheels up here. It don't matter. But then you turn into a teenager, you know, get all that thing, get all that funk. And then life hits you. And you're like, oh, my goodness, you're an adult. And life starts hitting you. There were years where I didn't raise my hands when I did as a child. And I let junk come in. And then, you know, the feeling of, well, because I hadn't raised my hands in the last year or so, now I can't because now I'm not worthy to. And people, oh, my gosh, the devil is an idiot. And he gets on my nerves, okay? And we get on my nerves for letting him talk us into that garbage, okay? You got to make room for it, though. There are souls attached to your obedience. Your worship is contagious. When you lift your hands thinking somebody's going to be looking at you, you know what? They're probably looking at you thinking, oh, my gosh, they did it. Now I can do it, too. Okay? There's freedom in it. It's not weird. It feels good. It feels good to do what God wants you to do. It really does. It's freeing. You should try it sometime. But that brings me to my next point, is we get so caught up sometimes that the reasons why we can't make room for things, I'm like, I didn't know if I should go here or not, but even in this church, you would think, no, that don't happen in this church. Oh, boy, it does. We get distracted by religion. So distracted by religion that we don't search for the purpose and calling of the Lord, because we've just put him in a box already of, God, this is what you came for, this is what you did, and this is all I'm going to give you, and here you go. Let me punch my Sunday ticket, my Wednesday ticket, whatever it is. Let me rock my baby in the nursery, whatever it is, and that's all. That's it. We're going to put him in this box, okay? And then we're not even searching for what he wants to do next. We're not. We just give up because coming here alone is good enough. Being a Christian is good enough. We live in that Bible Belt. Knowing about Jesus is good enough for me. Okay. Colossians 2:8. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you. No one. I know my dad said it before, I'm going to say it again. We love your grandma, your grandpa, your mama, your people, their pastor. But if they are not bringing you to the fullness of Jesus, you love them, you respect them, and you go get Jesus. Okay? You don't stay bound in these dimensions that they put Jesus in. That you may have to unlearn some things of how you were raised, of what you were taught, to actually get the kingdom. Instead of just being taught religion your whole life. And you're like, oh, that don't happen at Journey Church. Just because we got pretty lights and a fog machine and a guitar doesn't mean that people can't sit out here and be desensitized to it. Okay? You don't know how blessed you are up here. I'm just going to say that. Take it for granted. So let me tell you the truth. Did I already read that? No, I didn't finish it. Sorry. Squirrel. Okay. I warned my daddy that would happen. Beware that no one, no matter how much you love them, no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness. All of it. All of it. Not just the parts we want to pick out so that we can take it and beat somebody with it. Okay? All of it. The part that says lift your hands for worship. The part that says speak in tongues. The part that says forgive your neighbor. Love them. all of it. Okay? Woo! Thank you. Fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom. I think they're so smart when they get in an argument. Okay. When they're filled with endless arguments of human logic, key on the human. I'm not here for your human crap, and my mama's not here, and I can say it. I'm not here for your human man-made rules and your crap. Give me what's real. Give me Jesus. Okay? For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world's system. We're not here for this world's system. Jesus quite literally brought his system here for us to use and dwell in. But we're like, no, we got to do it this way. Well, no, we got to do it this way. Well, we're going to break off and be this domination and do it this way. Let's do it his way. Okay? Clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. So let's just ignore everything that Jesus said. The anointed one, the holy one that came here and was the perfect example that told us exactly word for word what to do, how to live, how to be his church. Let's just push that to the side and create our system. Because in our system, we're comfortable. We don't have to mingle with people that don't look like us. You know, we should stay away from that. We don't have to get out of our comfort zone. Well, let me tell you the truth. In Colossians 2, 13, 15 is what Jesus says. Or not Jesus, well, you know, the Bible says, sorry. You are dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And I love that part where he disarmed spiritual authorities. Those people that thought they knew everything they could know about Jesus, but then did not even, or about God, but then did not even recognize him in human form right in front of their face. Okay? It just, I wonder how many people are in church today, or not in church today, and go into hell because they had a bad experience with religious people like Jesus did. How many of those people are not in church? You know, you ever thought about that? Like, how many times have we as Christians used this sword that we're supposed to use to defeat the enemy and the lies of the enemy off of people, but we just use it to stab people? You know? How many times have we just stabbed people? Not the enemy, not realizing that there's a devil that's after them. So we got to learn not to go after the human, but to go after the Satan that's attacking the human, okay? If all we're doing is coming to church, getting armored up with this, to use it as a tool to cut somebody, I'm just going to call you like you are. You're a modern-day Pharisee, okay? And if you've ever watched The Chosen or Passion of the Christ, they give you just that such good visual of the Pharisees. And it's like, it makes me so mad. I'm sitting there, I could beat them with my fist as I'm watching this. And I'm like, you're quoting scripture and then you don't see it. How? But then I look at church. And I look at Christians today, and it's no different. How many of us would be standing there saying, crucify him, crucify him, if it was our time that he came? Because he doesn't fit in the box that they wanted. He's a rebel. He does things unorthodox, out of the norm, out of people's comfort zones, weird, spooky. How many of us would have said Barabbas? Probably more than you think. Okay? It's time for us to become who we truly say that we are. Not just I know Jesus. We are the Bible Belt. Everybody knows Jesus. But you got to make room to actually know him. Okay? To have his fullness. And that takes some perspective. So that brings me to my next one. We must get rid of our earthly mindset and desires to see with a heavenly perspective. Okay, we're going to go to Colossians 3:1-17. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. And I love that part where it says realities of heaven, because it's not about your circumstances. It's not about your earthly reality and what's going on in your life. You've got to rise above that and see from heavenly places, God's perspective on things. Okay? So set your sights on realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. This earth is going to pass away. We are so invested in something that is so temporary. And we don't put any thought into eternity, not just for ourselves, but for others. We should always be more concerned with someone else. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And I love how it says this. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you, have nothing to do, and he tells us what to get out: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. And that doesn't just mean money. No. That can mean your time, your talents. Well, God, I know you want this for me, but I'm not going to give it to you. I know you need me to make room for my calling to be able to deliver what you have for me to say, but I'm embarrassed. I'm scared I'm going to mess it up, so I'm not going to. Okay, at me. Greed is not just money. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time. Make some room, baby, make some room. Get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have been stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. It's time to let that junk go. We act so surprised when non-Christians act like non-Christians, and we're so quick to point fingers at them, but we know better. They don't. Okay? If we're going after him and we're diving deeper and we're studying him, we know to let this sinful nature go. But we stay so wrapped up in the same sin cycles over and over and over again. And that's because we have to put on your new nature. You can't just get rid of something and not replace it with something, or it's going to come back 10 times worse, okay? You got to, whatever you make room for, you make sure you fill it up with something better. Put on your new nature and be renewed. Got to renew your mind. Stay around like-minded people that are going to refresh you to keep that mind renewed. Got to get away from some people that are influencing you the wrong way. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So you mean to tell me that I feel that little goosebump in my belly during altar call, I raise my hand to get saved, and just like that, I don't know the Creator in His fullness? No, it's a process. It's a relationship. It's not a microwave either. It takes your whole life of learning Him to become like Him. And that's the point of this, is we want to look like Jesus. We want to model after Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter. Back to the whole you're not worthy, you're not qualified thing. Tells it to you again. It doesn't matter if you are Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Hallelujah, doesn't matter. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you, can you breathe and like have breath come out of you and touch your hand? Okay, then you're chosen. Good. Good. You're here. You're chosen. So since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must do this. Take all that crap out, stuff out. My mom's really going to get me for that. Take it out. Make room and fill yourself with tenderheartedness, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, And patience. It's in there. Unfortunately. And this is hard. This ain't easy. This is not what Christians like to do. Make allowance for each other's faults. Ooh. But you're perfect. What you mean? You mean somebody in here's not perfect? Forgive anyone that offends you. And remember that the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So let's talk about that for a second. We've got to learn. I think this is part of the maturity thing too. I'm hoping as I get older, I'll be better at it. Y'all elders, tell me. Help me. We've got to learn to get quicker at identifying the enemy. And then respond accordingly. We are so quick to get angry, to get mad, to get in our feelings at people. When Ephesians 6:12 quite literally tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It highlights that believers are not, we're not wrestling humans. We're wrestling evil forces, but we're so quick to just get mad and in a tizzy. Gosh, we do it at our husbands, we do it at our kids, we do it at our coworkers, or our church people, or our family, not realizing that's exactly what he wants, the enemy. That's exactly what he wants. It's no coincidence when you get plugged into a church, a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, Kingdom of God church, for something to happen and you get offended. For somebody to say something, or somebody say that you said something, and somebody run with that says that you said something, and instead of going to that person that said something, we just get mad and then we say something. Or we walk out the door and we lose all the blessings that God has for us where he had us planted. And if you think you're just going to go hop to another church and it be different, you're wrong. You're wrong. It is a lesson to be learned. There's going to be people at every church you go to, so every church you go to is not going to be perfect. You're, like he says, you're there, so it's not perfect. I'm here, so it's not perfect. Okay? But we've got to start taking it out on each other. When you finally get with that good group of people that's pushing you towards God, that's, you know, inspiring you to do better, it's not a coincidence when Satan stirs up some drama in the friend group. That's not a coincidence. We're just so stupid that we fall for it. Duh. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're going after God, he quite literally tells us the enemy's going to attack us, and we're so stupid we don't realize it. It's happening. But like, we've got to get quicker at it. We got to practice that. We've got to get better at discernment, at realizing that is an attack of the enemy. It has nothing to do with my brother or sister in Christ, because at the end of the day, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're going to share heaven. So you better get used to each other. Okay? All right. Yeah. So back to verse 14, because I got off on the whole, that thing. Talking about forgiving people. And what God calls us to do, we're replacing all the junk. We're making room. We're getting rid of all the junk, and we're replacing it with things. We're going to clothe ourselves with love. This is his love story to us. This is not a weapon to hurt each other with, to battle of who knows more and who's got the translation figured out and the day that Jesus is coming nailed down to the second. It's not about your theology. Get over yourself, my gosh. It's not about you and what you think. It's about love. And that's the only way you're going to reach people. I've never seen anybody reach anybody on an argument on Facebook, on going back and forth with them trying to prove their point. That's not love. That's stupidity. You look dumb. Stop doing it. Get off Facebook. Just delete it. You know what? I'm going to start telling y'all. Every time I see you, I'm going to comment, delete your Facebook. You are embarrassing me. Heart with love, Kayla. Okay. I mean, I'm tempted, y'all. I am tempted, and every time, because my daddy being the kind of preacher he is, don't think that there hadn't been hate out there. Y'all want to talk about something hard? as a daughter, I was doing his TikToks for a while, posting them until somebody said something ugly on it. And I had to shut it down because I felt it. I felt that anger. I felt that I want to clap back. And I'm not real good at clapping back, but I got a sister that's got a mouth on her, and she'll tell me what to put. Okay? We always say, she's the mouth, I'm the hands. I got the strength, she's got the yapper. Okay? It's hard not to lash back. But we have to clothe ourselves in love, because love is what binds us together in perfect harmony. And that's what he wants. We're one body for him. That's what he died for, was to give us the church, for us to be one body with him. Oh, okay. And let the peace. Notice it says let the peace. Not just peace is going to pop up. You have to let it happen. Peace is a choice. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Why is that so hard to do? It's hard for me too. I've had nights where I've gotten so worked up on things. If you haven't been through Freedom Class, go through Freedom Class. Plug for Freedom Class. Because I had to hold my Bible, my Freedom book, and play The Chosen in the background to get myself to go to sleep. Okay? I need all the Jesus. I'm not even reading it, but I know it's laying on me, and it'll just absorb into my skin, and I'm going to have peace as I sleep. I'm serious. That's what it takes sometimes. But it's a choice to get out of your head and let the peace come from Christ that rules your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Ugh. That's tough, because we really want to get offended and we really feel justified in it. We were right and they were wrong. Is that going to matter in heaven? Sometimes you got to let things go without saying your side. You may never get to tell your side. And you got to let peace come with that, because it's not worth your peace. There's too much work to do with the kingdom to stay stuck on that crap. That's three times I'm for sure getting a whooping. Okay. Papa Ray, you got to help me here. Okay. Thank you. Always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. You've made room out of all that junk. Fill up with something. Fill up with his richness. Teach and counsel each other instead of bickering at each other. Be open to being counseled. Amen. You don't know everything. Yeah. Joey Coots don't know everything. A lot, but not everything. He's been pretty on target for everything he has said to me, but that's neither here nor there. Everybody needs counseled. Be a part of a life group where that can happen. Don't be the lazy Christian that just wants to pop in, pop out, and not connect to the body. And then whine, gripe, get on Facebook about how I just don't feel connected. Nobody talks to me. You ever signed up on one of them sheets for a life group and then actually went? I'm just asking. Not for any particular, none of y'all have done that though. That's that other church. You know? So, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. And I'm telling you, so much of that happens in life groups. Wednesday night equip classes. Youth for your kids. There is a youth group that happens on Wednesday nights, 6:30 p.m. upstairs. And a college and career. You want Junior and Sissy equipped for the world. They need a life group. They are thrown at the world Monday through Friday at school. I am a school teacher, and I can tell you, you want Junior and Sissy plugged in a youth group with those connections, with people they can trust that are chasing after God with them. You do not want to depend on the school to raise your child. Don't do that. That's why this world is what it is, part of it. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it, back to Facebook, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. giving thanks through him to God the Father. Huh, but I don't feel thankful. Things aren't going my way. I haven't seen any miracles happen. Yes, you have. You're just desensitized to them, and you call miracles coincidences. Is that not the truth? The hand of God is all over the place, but you've got to make room to see it. You've got to open your eyes to be able to see his fullness. Or else you're just going to think it's a bunch of coincidences that go on. No, it's not. It's no coincidence when the money wasn't there, but then a way was made. It's no coincidence when the doctor said one thing at one appointment, but then the next time you go, it's completely changed. It's not an error on screen. It's no coincidence. But that's just how desensitized we are to his goodness, because we don't make room to see it. And we're so busy. And then he works a miracle, and it's like we're on a, yay, Jesus, high five, miracle train. But then we get right back in the world, and we stop telling people about it. People don't know about miracles because you don't tell them. I mean, we want to keep it to ourselves because the enemy wants us to overthink it and be like, that wasn't really God. You're going to look like a buffoon saying this was a miracle. I'll tell you right now, there's going to be a day and a time, I feel like, 2023 from my family, and by my family, I mean my husband, me, and our two kids. It's the year that I know that I know that I know that I know that God is real. Okay, you ever had those years where all hell was breaking loose, one event after another event after another event, and in that moment, it's like, oh my gosh, what did I do? That was 2023 for us. And it's no coincidence that January of that year, we signed up for Freedom Course. Okay, we were supposed to go to Freedom Course. It started on Wednesday. There's a time commitment for it, and I know some of y'all have heard some of this on the story, and I'm not going to tell the whole story. That's somebody's story for a later date. But my husband was in an accident. We didn't know, and it not a car accident. It was kind of embarrassing and goofy to say, but he was playing paintball with the youth, and a little girl shot him right in the eye. He's completely blind in one of his eyes. Woo! But at the time, it looked like the end of the world. I didn't work at that time. He got paid off what he did. Doctors are like, you can't work for 1 to 2 months. You're going to lose that eye, all that pressure. But God stepped in. That almost knocked us out of the Freedom Course. We almost were like, we're not going to be able to make the time commitments. We're down here at UAB. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. That was a Sunday afternoon, and Freedom Course was literally starting Wednesday. And I tell my leaders, I tell Miss Julie, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it because I don't know what this is about to look like. They're not even wanting him to walk except to get up to go to the bathroom for the next month is what they're saying. And I pray that night, and I'm like, I felt God so strongly tell me this was an attack of the enemy to keep you from getting what you need out of Freedom Course. And I really only even signed up because I wanted him to go through it. I'm perfect. What? No, not at all. But, you know, seriously, I had that pride in me of like, I've been raised by Joey Coots. He knows everything. He's taught me everything. There's nothing in that course that I'm going to hear that I haven't heard before, and not one. My jaw was on the ground. I wake up the next morning, and my mama's like, Kayla, I felt like this was an attack from the end. She's telling me the same thing, and that's been on the screen. Y'all have heard that before. And when mama says it, you just say, yes, ma'am, okay? Mama says, this is an attack from an enemy, and you need to get your tail up and go. So we got eye patch and all. We were there. And that's the best thing we ever did. So much freedom came from that course and what we learned through it. And I didn't even realize then that wasn't the end of the tragedies that year. That was just the beginning. But it gave us the tools and the support that we needed to walk through the other stuff. And without it, I don't know. We had a decision to make that year. Are we who we say we are? Or do we let this make us crumble? And there's a decision to be made always. And I'm so thankful that I watched God turn this for his good and his glory, every event that happened that year. And to tell you, I can promise you, miracles are real. Yes. They happen every day. And the one in particular that I will share out of 2023, I feel like I'm going, am I going over? No, yeah, I got to hurry up. Oh my gosh. Okay, maybe I won't. They happen every day. Hagen was 1 year old when our baby was one. I'm cooking, he's playing in the living room. I hear a loud crash. I mean, the kind of crash that you just take off running. And this blood-curdling screams, I go in there. He had pulled this big glass lamp over, and it busted on top of his head. Knocked him out to the floor, busted over his head. He had glass all in his head. He had a shard, like, in his eye, from his eye. I mean, it was everywhere. It looked like a horror scene. My husband, who is very much a you don't go to the emergency room unless you're about to be put on life support kind of person, like, we're not paying $300 for a Band-Aid. He's very much like, you do not go unless it's emergency. He grabs him up. He's looking at his head. He's got this big gash in his head. Blood's pouring out. He gets him under the light, looks at it, and he's like, yeah, it's open. He's going to need staples. It's bad. Let's go. And so we go, because I know if he's saying that, like, it's time to go. Ezra, bless him, he is in the car just praying like I've never heard him to pray before. This is a Friday night, okay? We're going to Women and Children's in Huntsville. He is praying his little, we're all praying our little heart out. But that's, you know, childlike faith moves mountains. And I watched that happen that night, and it was refreshing for me. Because he prayed specifically, don't let my bubba have to wait. Help my bubba fast. And let there be no owies on my bubba. Okay, them sweet prayers. We get there to Women and Children's on a Friday night. We're frequent flyers with my oldest son, so we know the wait time there is rough. There was nobody else in that waiting room except for us. We were the only people there. They see him covered in blood. Miracle number one, we're the only people at Women and Children's on a Friday night. They see him covered in blood. They come, rush out to him. The nurse comes to us at the chair while I'm filling out the paper, and he's messing with his head. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going to be staples right there. So we get all the paperwork done, get in there. We'd been sitting there for a minute, and we're just praying. We get into where they're going to do the staples and all that stuff. They start to clean his head, and the nurses that was just out there with him saying he needs staples going. And he looks at me, and he's like, I don't know how to explain this, but there's nothing there. There's nothing more than a paper cut here. Like, I don't know what happened, but what was out in the lobby just a few minutes ago is no longer here. Here's a popsicle, and I'll take your $300. And I'm glad to pay it because God answered prayers that night. But we don't tell that stuff to each other. We've got to be better at telling each other what's going on because that gives each other hope. There is hope, and there is a God that does answer your prayers, okay? But we've got to make room to see it. Come on up, Rodney. Get me out of here, I'm gonna be in trouble. I thought I was gonna be short. I'm worse than Dad. Oh my gosh, yeah, Joey Jr. When I was on my way to Ezra's field trip, when I felt like God was really downloading all this into me and, you know, just very lovingly letting me know that I'm doing this, there was a song that came on. And I had heard this song before. It wasn't a new song to me. But when I heard it, it's like I felt the presence of God tingle all over my body. And it's like I truly believe listening to that song in that car that day is what got me out of this to say, yes, God, I'm going to make room for what you want. This life, this temporary world, is not about me. Use me as an evening sacrifice. Let me be your vessel. I'm done running. I'm done hiding. I'm ready to be who you've called me to be and who you say I am and who I say that I am. I don't want to be the person that claims to be this Christian anymore and not walk it for them to see. I want to get rid of the junk. I want to get rid of everything that's keeping me from reaching your fullness. And I just felt like he told me, you're not the only one. You're not the only one that needs to make room and get rid of things so that I can move. You want these miracles. You want these blessings. You want all these signs, wonders, and this favor of God. Get rid of some junk so he can give it to you. Who am I to tell the Lord that died to take everything from me? No, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep walking in this world just holding on to everything that you died to take from me. Not anymore. Not anymore for me anyways. And I pray that if there's any of you that feel that tug of I'm getting rid of it all, then I asked Rodney if he would play the song. That way anybody that wants to surrender, and I'm going to be the first one at this altar with you, you can come up, whether it's you, whether it's things going on in your marriage, your kids, your job, whatever it is that's holding you back from giving yourself completely over to Him and reaching your full potential that He has for you, because you are qualified, you are worthy, let's just surrender it. Nobody may move, everybody may move. I don't know, it's up to Him. But I've done what He said, and we're going to let this music roll. And I'm going to get down here and worship.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.